The following hour is brought to you by MidasResources.com, your trusted source for precious metals since 1996. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
Studios on the campus of the University of Common Sense in the Big Easy, the professor of thinkology and a man dedicated to truth and common sense. America, class is in session right here, right now, with your host, Jim Brown.
Well, welcome to the second hour of the Common Sense Show. Glad you're with us on this weekend. We're broadcasting live from New York City. Got so many listeners up this way to listen to us over Atlantic City, WPGG, and WENJ, 1450 AM in Atlantic City. Also, New York City and the surrounding New Jersey area, WVNJ, 1160 AM. Glad to have all you listeners, plus all of y'all, wherever you're from. And we're trying to cover the news and make some common sense out of what's happening. One focus that we can't get a consensus on at all is education, our schools. The schools get a failing grade. We used to be the premier place to be educated, and now we don't rank in the top of any industrialized country in the world. They're all ahead of us in terms of testing for math and English. What's going on and what can we do? Dara Feldman's joining me. She's an award-winning educator, and she's concerned about mandating testing in a variety of objects. I want to pick her mind a little bit, and she's author of a book called The Heart of Education. You can find it on our website at www.jimbrownusa.com. Hey, Dara, glad you joined us today.
Oh, it's a joy to be with you, Jim.
Let's jump right into this, Dara. We don't have a lot of time, but we got so much to cover. We could talk for hours. Nobody's happy with the system. The teachers are complaining. They burn out and leave in vast numbers. The public doesn't think they're getting their money's worth. Kids don't test as well. We've got some real problems in higher education. Districts seem to be cutting back on budgets. So it's a huge, huge mess. Do we burn the whole system down, draw a line in the dirt, and start from scratch? Or how can we get a handle on where we should be focusing? George Bush came with No Child Left Behind. Now we got Common Core. To me, a lot of these items are like rearranging the chairs on the deck of the Titanic. Where's a beginning point to get a better focus on public education in this country today?
You know what, Jim, I actually agree with you about that analogy. And I think that we don't have time to just blow things up and start from scratch. I think what would be ideal is if we could all work together and look at what those best practices are out there. It's not either or, it's an and. So a lot of people are going, oh, charter schools away. There are some charter schools that do an excellent job. No, that's taken away from public education. Well, in some schools, it's better that we maybe take some resources away from public schools. And we all should be working together. What happened with No Child Left Behind? I believe the intention was pure. And what it did was it helped to focus on some of the holes that are in public education, not really being of service to our students of color, to our students who come from other countries, speak a different language, have special needs. So that's good. But what we did, instead of putting resources to be of service to empowering these young people to be the best that they can be, we put money into testing. And I think the testing and academic rigor is really the piece that flipped education on its side.
Yeah, I agree with you, Dara. It seems like we test these kids just continually. It strikes me that, now, I don't want to get into breaking down something like Common Core, but one thing that it does, there ought to be some uniformity. If you get an 89, a grade of 89, or a B+, in a high school in Colorado Springs, Colorado, it ought to be the same thing as a B+, or an 89 in Columbus, Ohio. But right now, colleges complain that they just can't count the grades from the high schools because there's such a variance. So do you need some kind of uniform standard? How do you tell if a kid in one part of the country is on par with the kid in the other part of the country? How do you make some kind of consensus along those lines?
You You know, that's a really thoughtful question. And this is rocket science and brain surgery all put together, to be perfectly honest. Because what's meaningful isn't necessarily measurable, and what's measurable isn't necessarily meaningful. So we're so transient in the United States. Kids are bopping around from county to county, to school district, from one state to another. So it is essential that somehow there is uniformity. But what's equal isn't equitable. And so what's happening, let's say, in Middle America, in Kansas, some of the skills and strategies that those kids need to utilize to be successful in school and in life where they are at this moment in time might be a little bit different than those in the inner city, such as in New York or L.A. So how is a big question. Do we level the playing field for all learners so that everybody, there's this fair system without throwing the baby out with the bathwater and dumbing down our school system?
Yeah, but Dara, I see what you're saying. I don't want to take away the ingenuity and the experimentation on a school-by-school basis. I think it's great to have different teachers taking different approaches and different school systems to approach it differently. Some use computers and are doing away with handwriting. Others say, no, you've got to stay more traditional. But how do you judge that? Do you need some kind of uniform testing? I thought that's what Common Core was going to do, not tell the teacher in Washington, D.C., where you live, or in New York City, where my daughter is actively involved in education, not telling them, here's how you're going to teach it, but just say, we want to see how successful you are and compare you to what the teachers and other parts of the kids are. So I mean, you got to have some way of finding. Yeah, and I don't know how you do that.
I'm with you. But see, that's where it's really complex. And I think that one of the voices at the table in education that are missing are the educators. It's really business leaders and policymakers who are, you know, putting this on the education system. And I think that people, again, with good intentions, created the Common Core so there could be some kind of evaluation that would be fair and universal. But it also goes against exactly what you just said about not band-aiding and taking away the joy, meaning, purpose, and creativity of the educators and of the students. But what has happened is whenever there's an assessment, especially a test that is across the country, educators somehow get forced to teach to the test. And that's what Common Core does. And so it has these common elements, and it's so new that there's a lot of confusion about exactly what is the Common Core. There's a lot of ongoing professional development trying to figure it out, and then to create meaningful learning opportunities for students in order to be successful on the assessments that have been created to see how we're doing. So I think we're not asking the right questions, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. It also seems to me that we're, have we really changed that much? Dara, you take a look at this. I mean, it seems to me that we're basically teaching kids today like they did 100 years ago. You know, the teacher sits in front of the classroom, the kids take the notes and write it down and regurgitate it back or rote memorize it so they can feed it back on an examination. I know that with the onslaught of computers, there's a little bit more innovation there, but have we really made any significant change? What are they doing in Finland, and what are they doing in Germany, and what are they doing in every other industrialized nation in the world that where they score higher on tests than our kids, and they say they're modernizing their approach, well, we're kind of in a rut. So what's your thoughts on that? And Sarah, before you give me your thoughts, Sarah, I want to interrupt you. We've got to take a little pause right now. I want to tell our listeners, right, a fascinating subject. Dara Feldman is an award-winning educator. She is focusing on these changes in education. Her book is called The Heart of Education, The Virtues Project, and the author of The Heart of Education. You can find her book on her website at www.jimbrownusa.com. We'll come back and talk to Dara some more and make some more comments. Try to get a little focus on the educational problems right after this message. Stay tuned with us.
listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
All of us want to stay healthy, particularly as we grow older. I work out and try to watch what I eat, but you need more. You need a vitamin supplement to give you that extra energy and to help keep your weight down. My solution? I use Youngevity vitamins and minerals to keep me in good health. They're easy to take, and the power drinks, for me, really taste good. Hey, give them a try. Go to my website at jimbrownhealth.com. That's jimbrownhealth.com. You'll be glad you did.
Next to water and food, you need a safe, storable fuel supply for your preparedness needs. Spare Fuel is the answer. Spare Fuel can be used in any gas-powered vehicle or generator. Spare Fuel is perfect for any unforeseen out-of-gas emergencies. Unlike gasoline, Spare Fuel is safe to store with your other supplies, and it can be stored for many years. Go to GetSpareFuel.com for special pricing. That's GetSpareFuel.com.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it. So decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of thinkology, Jim Brown.
Why are we so behind the rest of the industrialized nation when it comes to testing for our kids, our standards on math and English? Why are we competitive? America was the exceptional country that led the world, and now we're falling more and more behind. We're talking about the focus on education. Dara Feldman is my guest. She's an award-winning educator and author of the book, The Heart of Education. You can find it on our website at www.jimbrownusa.com. Dara, now before the break, we were talking about this balance, how we try to get caught up and why we fell so far behind. And you started to answer me, so go ahead and pick up on that and tell me what you think.
Yeah, I've been chomping on the bit over here. So to answer your first question, you know, are we still teaching the same way that we did 100 years ago? I think that there is a lot of innovation in the United States right now, and I don't think that it gets publicized. I think with expeditionary learning, flipped classrooms, cooperative learning, there's a lot that we're doing well. But for some reason, media likes to really focus on what's negative. So you don't hear about some of those innovative things that are going on. Now, in all fairness, there are some archaic methods, and some of our systems are broken and need to be shaken up. Because if we're teaching the same way that we taught even 5 years ago, then we're not meeting the needs of today's children. So that's a quickie on that one. Now, getting to the assessment piece, and also, why are we not performing as well as other countries, like you said, Finland and Germany? I think one of the reasons is we are not testing the right things, but I think even more so is we're not investing in education. We are not investing in teacher preparation. And I think we really need to look at the higher ed level of the teachers that we are bringing forward. How many of those professors have walked into K-12 classrooms in the past 2 to 5 years? Do they even know how to utilize technology? Are they with the 21st century? So I think teacher preparation and investment in young teachers is essential. And that's what Finland is doing. You know, it's very competitive to be an educator, and they're very respected over there. So instead of pointing fingers and blaming, if our society were able to say, wow, every single other job that is in this world, in our country, those students were in K-12 up and coming in their lives, and perhaps they'd have a different mindset and invest in education and educators. So I think it's the investment. I also think it's the way that the other countries revere and honor their educators instead of pointing fingers. So come on, America, let's get it together. Let's work together. We can do this. Oh, my gosh.
All right, Darrell, let me ask you this. One of the big issues, and I see that a federal judge in California has said that teacher tenure is unconstitutional because good, progressive young teachers get bounced, and it's not fair to the kids. And that has started a wave of these suits. New York has got a suit that's just been filed by David Boies, who's one of the premier lawyers in America, and there's a groundswell taking on teacher tenure. Is teacher tenure that big of a problem, do you think, for improving education or not?
You know, I think that it's getting the spotlight, and I really don't think that it is the culprit. However, in Montgomery County Public Schools, where I taught for over 20 years in Maryland, we have a really great system that when we're evaluating educators and they seem to be in trouble or they are just burned out, there is a fair process that we enroll these teachers in to either help them get better at their craft or help them move on and find another job. So I think instead of just focusing on tenure being the issue, let's focus on helping our teachers get better. And if they're not committed or they're in the wrong position, then helping them get to another job. And I do think that there are some systems where there are teachers who are not teaching and are not being of service and actually creating harm, sorry colleagues, to their students because they are just coasting and waiting for retirement. So something does need to change.
Yeah, we need to have a way to let the good teachers, you know, but that's true in any system. I wish you knew the answer. It's just because who does the evaluating, and you can play the devil's advocate and beat that around a great, great deal. So
there's got to be fair process with that, Jim, because evaluation is really tricky. I was coaching teachers in D.C. public schools, and part of their evaluation has to do with test scores. I had an awesome fourth grade teacher. She got perfect scores from her outside evaluators, but her students were not doing well on the standardized test. In her reading teaching, she brought those students up 2 and 3 grades in 1 year, but because they came to her several years behind, they were not able to access and and read the fourth grade test. And she got frozen the first year in terms of salary and fired the second year. Yet she was a phenomenal teacher. So we haven't figured out a fair and a just system yet. And until we do, then, you know, we've got to really examine, are we doing more harm than good?
Well, we got a long way to go, and there I appreciate your putting in perspective for us and give us your view here. Your book, The Virtues Project, you're director of education. You were for The Virtues Project, but your new book is called The Heart of Education. You folks can find it on our website. Fascinating discussion, something that's going to take a lot of hard work, a lot of money, and you can find that book on our website at www.jimbrownusa.com. Derek, good talking to you. We'll have you back again. We'll talk some more education. So have yourself a
nice Jim.
And we'll talk again. Have a nice weekend.
You too. Take care. Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Dara. Yeah, tough issue, folks, in terms of you're worried about your kids or your grandkids, and how do you put it in perspective and encourage good teachers? My daughter, by the way, if you're interested in this whole area of teacher tenure, has been very aggressive. A lot of you remember Campbell Brown, used to be on CNN, hosted the Today Show on NBC. Now is very involved in educational change in the state of New York. Just remember her name, CampbellBrown.com. You'll see videos and a number of articles there. She was on the Today Show, or I think Good Morning America this week. Stephen Colbert had her on the show this week. She's been on virtually every major TV show, Morning Joe, MSNBC's Morning Joe, talking about changes we need to bring about to get us into the 21st century. And she shares the concern that Dara expressed, that I've shared with you, that we just can't be ranked 25th, 26th, or down to 30th as far as industrialized countries, the standards for our kids in math and English, and expect to be competitive. It's just not going to happen. There's a whole different focus that needs to take place, and we can't teach our kids today like we did some years back. We don't have a lot of time now. I want to tell you a story here, maybe in the next segment, about use of computers and what some people are doing. I saw an experiment with some folks in India that took some laptops up to kids up in the mountainous region and just gave it to them. Didn't tell them anything about it whatsoever. Came back 2 months later, and the kids were playing games and had their inquisitiveness, their challenge just ate it apart. So they put it in a number of other villages. Happened in every single instance. These kids can learn if you just turn them loose. Give them direction and turn them loose. Jim Brown here on the Common Sense Show. I'm going to come back and talk to a Pulitzer Prize winner about the whole focus of houses. Glad you're listening to us. Again, my website, www.jimbrownusa.com. Freshen up your coffee. We'll come back for another 30 minutes of Common Sense.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
Working on a home or residential painting project? Then there's only one name you need to know, PPG. PPG has earned the respect of professionals and homeowners alike because we combine the latest paint technology with expertise and knowledgeable service. PPG offers a broad range of primers, paints, stains, and specialty products to meet all your needs. Available at either our PPG Pittsburgh Paints or PPG Porter Paints Company-owned store or independent dealer locations throughout the U.S. Each PPG product comes with the customized service you deserve to make sure you get the right fit for the job. And choosing colors has never been easier thanks to the PPG Voice of Color system that helps users discover colors that match their personality. So for the best quality products, excellent service, easy-to-use color tools, and great results, visit your local PPG Pittsburgh Paints or PPG Porter Paints location today.
Whoa! This is big!
By popular demand, the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale has been extended. Now through August, save 30 to 45% on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House Freeze Dry Foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Now is the time to stock up on all factory fresh stock of the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45%. But hurry, supplies are limited, so this sale is only through the end of August. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguide.com. Hurry! The Giant Factory authorized Mountain House sale with savings of 30 to 45% is extended through August from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
How's your pH today? Are you acidic? How alkaline is your blood and body? What is the pH of the water you drink? We are AlkaVision, and we have the answers. Drinking pure, high alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining vibrant health and high energy, because bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. If your drinking water isn't at a pH level of 8 or higher, boost it with AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Our unique formula will alkalize your water, ridding your body of harmful toxins and acid, and help regain energy and health. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise the pH of your body to optimal levels. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615, 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
The nation's largest independently owned and operated talk radio network. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of thinkology, Jim Brown.
Welcome back to Common Sense Show. Got a lively show today. Good weekend. We're enjoying the fall, getting ready for football season, and having lots of fun here today, too. Interesting subject about, you know, I love old houses. I restored an old plantation house, took 10 years of my life, and yet we see changing times. I've seen that so many universities that had the older architecture now is going more modern, and some people like that, some people don't. There's a whole language when you look at houses, and I want to talk about that a little bit and maybe educate a bit. Allison Lurie is my guest. She's won the Pulitzer Prize for her novel Foreign Affairs, published 10 books of fiction, 4 works of nonfiction, former professor of English at Cornell University, and she lives in an old house, just like I do, in upstate New York. Glad to have her on the show. Allison, welcome to the Common Sense Show.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Now, you got a brand new book out. This book comes out just this week called The Language of Houses, How Buildings Speak to Us. Just as our lives change because of computers, because of a whole changing perspective and how we do so many things, buildings change, and there's been some very radical changes in construction with the buildings we have, both public and private, over the last 50 years or so, hasn't it?
Absolutely, and I'm with you. I prefer the old buildings to the new ones. But the strange thing is, when I did a survey of the students here at Cornell and showed them pictures of old style houses and new modernist houses, they didn't like the modern houses. I asked them, say you were out in the country and your car broke down or you were alone in trouble. Which of these houses would you go to? And I showed them a modern ranch house and a very modern architect design house and the Victorian house. And the one they went for was the old, big old farmhouse with a big front porch. They said, not only was that where they'd go for help, if they had to live in one of these houses, that's where they wanted to live. The only exception was the architecture students. They wanted to live in one of these white boxes.
That's interesting. And I can see where, you know, when you're living in the dormitory, you're living in an apartment, you're living in the city,
right.
That you feel confined, whereas you get on that big rocking porch and feel the breeze, and especially if you got high walls in your house, maybe have a few acres or whatever,
yeah.
a pond out that way. It gives you a sense, I think it gives you a sense not only of calm and peacefulness, but I also think it also is stimulating. It allows more creativity. And you as a writer, I mean, you won the Pulitzer Prize, so you've obviously been extremely creative. But do you agree with me on that? You think? I just think that kind of surrounding in an older home gives you a little sense of more creativity. Now, I'm sure those who are modern, high-tech, New York City glass buildings and houses will maybe take a different slant, but I'm not too impressed with a lot of the literature coming out of that modern slant either today.
Well, that's possible. You look at ads for new condos in some Sunday magazine, and they all look alike. They have these flat, empty rooms full of flat furniture and big glass windows, and there's no individuality. Maybe the people who live in them will create new electronic things, but they won't necessarily create anything that will give people pleasure or inspiration. Now, I was, you know, because I knew I was going to talk to you, I listened to one of your shows, the one about the robots that are going to take care of old people.
My thought not you, but
I don't want any robot coming into my house to take care of me. You know, and they look fine in some of these modern high-rise condos, but I don't want them in my house. That was my thought.
Now, you write about, you talk about the changing tastes in architecture, and you know, you talk about, for example, our university is the changing styles, the Gothic style. I've always thought, I don't know if you've been to Duke, I don't know about Cornell, but Duke University, Washington, Lee. I live down the South, and so many of our campuses down here in the South have a great flair that came from Gothic style architecture and have a great feel. Lots of wood. We use lots of wood down here, and not so much stone.
You've got lots of wood down there. Well,
no doubt
about
Duke,
Duke, where I've taught as a visiting professor, and Cornell, where I taught for nearly 40 years, they have a lot of beautiful old Gothic buildings and late 19th century buildings. They've got some modern buildings, too, but except for the art museum, they're kind of kept off in a corner where with the Ag School and where the barns are. And there, maybe you need these big cement type buildings, and of course the athletic buildings are many of them very modern.
Well, now let me ask you this. You've written a number of novels, won the Pulitzer Prize for one of your novels, Foreign Affairs. What made you think, after that background in writing, to write a book about the language of houses, the development and the changing styles of houses worldwide, both private and public? What got you into that direction? Why did you pick that subject to write about?
Well, you know, sometimes I couldn't think of a subject for a novel. And the first time I got stuck this way, I decided to write about clothes, because I'd always been interested in what people were wearing. So I wrote a book called The Language of Clothes. And after it came out, and it did pretty well, people said, well, why don't you write about houses? But I didn't pay any attention because I'd thought of a story by then. But then a couple of years ago, when I was in this condition again, I remembered people had said this, and I started looking at houses and getting people to do research for me and thinking about it, and it interested me more and more, and it made going anywhere in this town suddenly it was interesting. Even if I went to the supermarket or I went to the dentist, I looked around and said, what is this building saying to me? Or what is this office saying to me? Or I'd go to the motor vehicle office and there's something depressing about the motor vehicle office, maybe not where you are, but where we are, there's these glass partitions between you and the people you want to talk to, and you look through them, and they're back over in the back of the room talking to each other, and they pay no attention to you. Maybe it's because it's a government building, I don't know, but instead of being bored out of my mind and a little bit angry, I said, yeah, something's going on here.
You're right, and I'll tell you this. I'm into a lot of offices of motor vehicles in states all over the country. They all look terrible. They're all dull and brick and mortar and not interesting one single bit. I am optimistic in this vein. Down in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina, I know there's been some really great development where architects will come in and take old buildings and keep the facade of the old building, but then make it very modern inside and reach kind of a nice balance. They'll use some old materials to blend with newer materials and bring it, make it very high tech with, you know, your computers and your big TVs and all the things along that line. But it gives it some charm. It gives it a balance. You can kind of take the old and the new and reach a balance and do some really innovative things, which I think is wonderful.
I think that's wonderful, too, and what they have remodeled a couple of the old buildings on the Cornell campus, but they've done it very discreetly. From the outside, you'd never know, and from the inside, you go into a room, and it, like you said, there's a lot of wood, and it's all. Then you realize that there's a screen that can come down, and you can project onto it. But
and Allison, I got to interrupt you because we got to take a little pause. We're talking with Allison Lurie. She's a Pulitzer Prize winner, novel, but she's written a new book called The Language of Houses. I love old houses. I love construction. My family's been in the construction business. I love talking about this. I hope you do, too. We'll come back and talk with Allison Lurie. Her book is on our website at www.jimbrownusa.com.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at
All of us want to stay healthy, particularly as we grow older. I work out and try to watch what I eat. But you need more. You need a vitamin supplement to give you that extra energy and to help keep your weight down. My solution? I use Youngevity vitamins and minerals to keep me in good health. They're easy to take, and the power drinks, for me, really taste good. Hey, give them a try. Go to my website at jimbrownhealth.com. That's jimbrownhealth.com. You'll be glad you did.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
It's the heart of summer across America. Thoughts turn to childhood and long days of fun. Everybody would love to feel like a kid again. And HB Extract can be a vital tool in your battle to stay vibrant and young, as it supports healthy blood pressure and circulation while balancing cholesterol. GCN and longtime sponsor HB Extract want to help keep your heart healthy with the 30 bottles, 30 days summer giveaway. Enter to win by visiting GCNlive.com between now and August 29th and click on the contest banner in the top left corner of the page. HB Extract has helped tens of thousands of people worldwide feel good again, and they've done it with HB Extract's exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. Here's to you enjoying many more long, warm, and fun-filled summers, free of pain and sickness. Visit GCNlive.com and enter to win in the 30 bottle, 30 days summer giveaway with HB Extract. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Sign up now at GCNlive.com.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, six vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of thinkology, Jim Brown.
Talking about old houses and construction, and I love to do this. I go around looking at old houses. I take my camera. I take photographs. In fact, I've learned, Allison, a new hobby of mine is I'll take my camera and take some photographs of some really interesting old houses. And you can get an app and turn those photographs into what looks like a painting. And I've found some. I made some marvelous shots. In fact, I'm even thinking about putting a book out about it. I'm going to get on the road here in a couple of weeks, and we're going to visit a number of areas that do our radio show, and I'm going to take my camera and just take all kinds of photographs of some of the fascinating architecture you find in this country today. But we were talking before about, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, we had to take that break, about what you can do by maintaining the facades. And, you know, the federal government, they don't do a lot of things right, but in essence, they give you what is called a facade easement, where if you've got a significant historic building and you keep the facade, but you take all the guts out of it, but keep the outside, you can get a special tax break so that you keep the continuity in old sections of some of our great cities throughout this country or some of our small towns, and really make them look historic. It's great for tourism, and you know, you can get ingenious and make it a lot more interesting. Can't you, Allison?
That's absolutely true. And I'm interested in your project because when I was doing the research, one thing I was looking for was strange buildings. And I thought, well, you know, if it's a language, it must have things in it like humor. So I thought, what would a funny building look like? And I went on, I found a website called Strange Buildings. And for instance, there's a building that looks like a wicker basket. There's stores that look like waffles, or there's restaurants that look like hot dogs or cakes. It's amazing what you can find, and you can do it. You could do a tour, and you look at some of these pictures, and you just have to laugh.
And you mentioned restaurants. I'd share this with you. I live down in the gastronomic capital of, I think, the world, in New Orleans, where renowned chefs like Emeril Lagasse and Paul Prudhomme and John Besh, with world-renowned reputations, they've all made the point that Yeah, well, I am. But they make the point that you got to have great food, but you've also got to blend that food with the surroundings. It's got to be an interesting place to come to because to really tempt the diner to come in. And you do that with the blend of architecture just to make it really an interesting place to bring friends and share a meal. So the language of houses speaks to commerce, speaks to restaurants, and speaks to a number of folks who are trying to sell products or goods or services or something like that by very innovative ways that they design their buildings, or redo their buildings, or build their buildings. And I guess you found that true in all your research.
Yes, I did. I realized that a restaurant is telling us from the outside whether we're going to like it, whether we're going to be welcome there, whether we're going to be treated nicely, or whether we're going to just have plates of food shoved at us. You can really tell a lot from looking inside the door sometimes. And you can also tell with a bar whether it's a place you want to take your wife, or where you would only go with your pals. And I don't know how they do this. It has something to do with neon, maybe, and television sets, like those sports bars, you know? Mm.
That's right. You know, the big neon signs is strictly a guy situation. I agree with you on that one.
Right. I should have put that in. Too bad I didn't talk to you before I published the book.
Now, Allison, you've had such a diverse career as a writer. You've won the ultimate prize you can get as an American writer, the Pulitzer Prize. What you thinking about? You got another project on the front burner?
Well, I'm thinking of writing a children's book, oddly enough. I've written a couple of collections of essays on children's literature, and I've taught children's literature, but I never wrote a book for children, so I'm thinking maybe that'll be my next project.
Well, what a wonderful eye! What a wonderful focus, and what a challenge! You can look at a building and get a pretty good sense and feel of it. What goes on in a child's mind, and what tempts a child today in this changing environment? And sometimes it doesn't change. But being a grandfather and having nieces and nephews galore that I try to read to and tell stories to, I think it's a great attribute, and I wish you well. So the book is called The Language of Houses: How Buildings Speak to Us. It's written by Pulitzer Prize winner Allison Lurie. Great new book, just released this week. You can find it on our website at www.jimbrownusa.com. Hey, Allison, thanks for spending some time with us. Excited. I read the book. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Good luck to you. Hope we can, when you get that children's book done, we're going to call you and talk some more, okay?
Okay, and good luck with your photography project.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye. Interesting lady. And, you won the Pulitzer Prize. You obviously know how to be a pretty darn good writer. That's the top award you can get in this country. I guess the Nobel Prize for Peace or something, or literature. William Faulkner, one of the few Americans that won that prize, but that maybe is the ultimate. But that Pulitzer Prize, a high standard, and you're in tremendous company along that line. Glad to have this lady with us here on the phone, or rather, on the show today. I talked about that project. Yeah, I'm going to get in the car. Line up some radio shows heading up to the Carolinas. Statesville, we've got stations across North Carolina. Got a lot of North Carolinas in Mockville, North Carolina. As you're getting over into the Blue Ridge Mountains, I want to spend some time up there. I want to head up through Memphis. We've got several stations up in the Memphis area. Work my way up to the Mississippi Delta. Then I'm going to divert over to Kentucky. I've got a college roommate from law school. Our listeners in Paducah, Kentucky, listen to us at WRIK 750 AM. That's right on the Mississippi River, as is Cairo, Illinois, WKRO. They're on the river up there, too. We're also going to work our way as we go up. I've got to spend some time up in Georgia and Atlanta with some family. So we've got listeners in Valdosta, Georgia, and WTHV, 810 AM, and also Moultrie, Georgia, WHBS. And I can go on and on with you in terms of a lot of these stations, but we're going to get out, and I'm going to get out. I'm going to put my fishing pole in the car. I'm going to put my golf club. I'm a terrible golfer, but I might want to hit a driving range or two. Put my golf clubs in the car. I'm going to take a big cooler load down with water galore. I'm going to take a tool set. I've already got it laid out. I got all these things I'm going to take. I'm going to get in my big old SUV and just cruise down the road. And if I find something interesting, I'll stay for a few hours. I'll line up for my show on weekends, as we do, talking to you each weekend on this station, same time, same station. We'll do that live from wherever I happen to be. Technology today has gotten so amazing. I've got a special radio computer I take with me. I can plug it into a telephone line, and you're thinking I'm right here in our major studios. WJBO is my home, my flagship station in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Our signals broadcast out of Minneapolis, goes by satellite up to Minneapolis, telephone line there, and sent out worldwide. We've got listeners all over the world. So amazing technology. And it's also interesting to be able to broadcast along these lines and travel. Put it all in the car and make some stops, or my SUV, make some stops along the way. Find a good place to eat. If I like it, I might lay my head down and stay for a while. If not, we'll kind of move on down the line. So my wife's tolerant of me. She's staying in New York with, I've got kids and grandkids in New York City. She's going to stay there for a while I get on the road and make this road trip, covering a lot of miles and seeing a lot of you listeners as I get on the road. So I look forward to that. I'll put the whole schedule on our website at www.jimbrownusa.com. And by the way, getting a lot more emails of folks that want one of those flags about in the fall, you know, get rid of them all. Get rid of them all. Fire them all in the fall. Big white flag with Uncle Sam on it. You can order that off my website at jimbrownusa.com. I don't make anything off the flag. I just show you the site to go. Not very expensive. I think it's about $10 to get the flag. And I've got it right in front of my house, right next to my American flag. Right next to my Scottish flag. I told our listeners earlier, I'm part Scottish, 80% Scottish. And we've got the huge election in a matter of weeks about Scotland getting their independence. I'm very much for it. I'm a big secessionist, man. Go ahead and let them do what they want to do. So, and we did talk about this week. Hey, we're out of time. I'm sure glad you joined me making some common sense in our radio program. Again, next time, same station. Hope you'll join me. We'll be broadcasting next week. I think from North Carolina. I'm not even sure. I'll put it on the website at jimbrownusa.com. Have a nice week. Talk to you soon and make some more common sense.
Listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
Hi, this is Larry Smith. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. When the cleaners ruined some special clothing, all they could do was show us a sign that said they weren't responsible. But when they got the letter from one of our Legal Shield attorneys, he promptly gave us a check for $1,152. Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. That's 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.